For NPR Music, you're connected to All Songs Considered. I'm Bob Boylan, and this is the music of Leon Bridges and a song called Shine.
Lord, don't remember my sins, my sins from my youth. Don't remember my sins.
Leon is from Fort Worth, Texas, and that mature voice is just 26 years old. Leon Bridges has a new album that's knocking a lot of people out. It's called Coming Home. He came to NPR to perform a Tiny Desk concert, and afterward, I brought him into the studio to talk about some of the music he loves and to talk about his passion for old R&B. And just getting set up and getting levels on the microphone was all about music for Leon Bridges.
Yeah. Oh, Miss Odessa, how you've grown to be so important to me, even though you live in Chicago. And I live in this country town west of New Orleans.
Do you wake up singing?
I do. Yeah, all the time. Always.
When did you sort of fall for this? What is the point that you started to want to do anything like this?
Yeah. Well, I've always been fascinated with R&B music ever since I was a kid. I remember first going to college, and I was pursuing dance and all that type of stuff.
And where was that?
At Tarrant County College.
It's
a little community college in Fort Worth, Texas. Uh-huh. And there was a guy, his name was Octavian Johnson, and he was bringing his keyboard to school every day. And he wasn't in music class, but he would just bring it and kind of sit around and play. And so I remember somebody telling me, hey, there's this guy in the student center, and he got his keyboard out. And so I went over there, and everybody's just kind of gathered around and taking turns singing. And so I get in there and, you know, get in there and sing something. And somebody was like, hey, man, you sound pretty good. And so eventually I got tired of depending on other people to make music and create. And so I went out and bought a guitar and started writing songs.
That's awesome. Now, you went to school to do dance. What kind of dancing were you doing, and how'd you fall in love with that?
Yeah. I mean, the love for dance started at a very young age, you know, seeing guys like Ginuwine and Usher, you know, in the music videos. And so, you know, I'd watch and try to imitate, you know, and, you know, I'd just kind of study that. And when I got to college, I wanted to take it a little further, you know, and so I started learning jazz dance and ballet and African and modern dancing.
Mm-hmm. Is it too hard to do that on stage? Because you have this wonderful move that I love. I can't do it, but you have this arm and hand thing and these gestures that are that I've only seen you twice, but
oh yeah,
which I love. But I don't see the feet moving.
Yeah, when I'm on stage, I move my feet a little bit.
Yeah, a little bit.
It's it's like I like to be very subtle, you know, and I'm still trying to, you know, get in my stride, you know, because I like to like rehearse whenever I dance, and so like whenever I'm on stage, I get a little self-conscious, you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. But I'm trying to work my way to do a little bit more with my feet.
Yeah,
so I can do some footwork, you know.
I can imagine that show where you do that. People are going to like this.
Yeah.
When I asked you about how did this all start and you told me a story, your story kind of begins at like more like 17 or 18. Now, I know that didn't happen. I know you must have fallen in love with this music earlier. I mean, you told me the part where you met the keyboard player and you're in college. But let's go backwards.
Yeah. I remember as a kid, my mother and father, they were separated, you know, when I was very young. And I lived with my mother, and I would go to my father's on the weekends in the summer. But my mom, she was a big fan of, like, Donnie McClurkin and Anita Baker. And so I would hear that in the house. And when I was at my father's, he would play, like, Curtis Mayfield. And when we were in the car, you know, play Stevie Wonder. But none of that, like, really, like, made me want to pursue soul music, you mm-hmm. know. It was something that I liked as a kid, and I appreciated it. But
what did you listen to? I mean, if that's what they chose, did you choose something on the radio?
Yeah, you know, as any other 90s kid, you know, I listened to whatever came on the radio, but I love guys like Ginuwine and Usher and 112, Drew Hill, Silk, you know.
You mentioned Genuine twice. Why don't we play a song from Genuine?
Sounds good.
What do you want to play?
Let's do a tribute to a woman by Genuine.
You know, baby, I know a lot of people will get you. All the ladies in the world, but you can do whatever you set your mind to do. Can't no one stop you.
Sometimes hearing a song that you heard when you were, well, how old were you when you heard Genuine, takes you right back to that place. So where might you have been?
Yeah, I was like 10 years old when I first heard Genuine. I remember.
And you were born, what, 88?
89. Yeah.
So you were.
And I remember being at a friend's house and the music video, it came on. And I was like, what is that? And I mean, was just kind of drawn from there. But, you know, Genuine, he started like around mid-90s. And he was almost a pioneer, you know, in what he did. Because prior to that, you had a lot of R&B music. But Genuine really, lyrically, you know, it wasn't like mind-blowing, you know. But it was very smooth and just a lot of great melodies and good phrasing. And
But as a kid, no one's good. You're not going to say, "Mom, I really like his phrasing."
No, not at all.
So, can you like put into words as a 10-year-old, like what did it?
As a 10-year-old, I don't even know how to explain like what I was feeling. You know, it was just the way he sang was just something that really spoke to me.
Do you remember trying to sing along?
Yes, yeah. Indeed. And another thing about it was his music was great for dancing, you know, and a lot of the hip hop and, you know, type of dancing.
Did you have your own room when you lived with your mom?
Oh, no, I didn't. Yeah, me and my brother, we shared rooms.
Uh-huh. Did you and your brother do dance routines?
Yeah, we did, actually. And this particular song, I first heard one of my friends play, and we just sit out on the porch, you know, turn the CD player on and go at it all day.
I love that. Let's pick something else from, again, when you were, I like this idea of singing along and like at what point do people like find your voice, like find the enjoyment in the singing? It's one thing we all, I sing along with the records all the time, but I'm not up on stage doing it. There's like that something clicks, you know. Maybe it was for you as that person coming up and calling saying, "Hey, you're pretty good." Or maybe, but even more, you wouldn't have gone to that fellow Octavia.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? If you hadn't already like embraced your voice.
Yeah. I think the first time, you know, when I knew I could really sing was in high school, you know, because I would sing to the radio and I thought that I couldn't sing because I didn't know that, you know, it was just a matter of like a lot of those songs that I was singing, it just wasn't in my range, you know. And so I says, "Oh, I can't sing," you know. And so, but in high school, I don't know what made me realize, you know, that I could, you know, or where I got confidence, but me and my buddies, we, you know, just walk around hallways and we sing, you know, some Usher songs and, you know, on the way to school, walking to school, you know, we'd sing. And I knew before, you know, I could sing a little bit. I still wasn't all the way confident, but I knew I had a little something.
Genuine is a 90s sound, but when I listen to your music, I don't hear Leon Bridges' 90s sound. So something clicked somewhere along the way with music that obviously is something your mom maybe liked, or maybe your dad, or maybe you came to it on his own. I'm going to play the Sam Cooke song, which will make us both very happy. And then I'm going to ask you, like, what it is about this, and when did it click for you that this era, this 50s, late 50s, early 60s music just rang true to somebody who's probably, you know, well, you tell me how old, maybe 15, 13, 8? I don't know. When did you first hear Sam Cooke?
I was 8 or 9 years old, I believe.
Okay. So I'm going to play Sam Cooke, and then we'll come back and talk. I was 9 years old when that song came out, right? So, yeah, because I'm old.
You look mad young.
Nope. And so it came out in 62. And that kind of love stuff for me didn't strike me as a kid, as like it didn't connect with me, you know what I mean? Like now, or even at 15, I madly love Sam Cooke. But... It didn't connect with an 8 or 9 year old, and I think of somebody who grows up in the 90s, where not only is this sound of music not around, right, but the subject matter so innocent and whatever. What is it that connected with you at 8 years old? It just fascinates me.
Yeah, the first time I heard Sam Cooke was in the Malcolm X film. I was with my father, and I remember my father telling me, you know, the story of Sam Cooke, and I was actually really intrigued as a kid, you know, but none of that carried over to make me want to write the music that I am now, you know, writing today.
And the story of Sam Cooke that he told you, some of which is probably that, hey, not only write this stuff, he was kind of a business guy, he was an arranger, and he died so young and so horribly.
Yeah, he didn't tell me about him being...
naked and shot.
He didn't tell me about him being a business, you know, the business side of it. It was his mother's favorite singer.
I see.
And, you know, and saying that, you know, he was killed at, you know, at a hotel and everything. And but, you know, that still didn't carry over to make me want to write and, you know, start writing traditional soul music.
Did it make you at least want to, like, own a Sam Cooke record? Did it...
Nah.
No.
Okay. Yeah.
So keep going. Let's follow this thread.
Yeah. And so I actually, you know, after that, when I was like 15 or 16 years old, I went to I think it was a Barnes & Noble, and I listened to his record. And I thought it was great then, but it still didn't carry on to make me want to go write traditional soul music. But I would say when I started writing... 4 years ago, you know, in the beginning, it was more of a neo soul and, you know, an R&B sound. And there had been a time a friend of mine, he had asked me if Sam Cooke was one of my inspirations. of course, I had never really listened to Sam heavily like that. And so after he asked me that, I felt bad, you know, as a singer and songwriter, that I didn't know my roots. And so I went on Pandora and YouTube, and first song I searched was the Bring It On Home. And
did you hear the connection that your friend Brian was making? Like, did you, like, say, oh, wow, that sounds a little like the songs I'm making? Or
it was, yeah, because the song that that he had heard from me was my song Lisa Sawyer, and this is before I made the decision to go down this route. And after listening to Sam Cooke, I was seeing some similarities as far as like some of the runs that I was doing. And
and when you say runs, because people aren't musical, what do you mean?
Yeah, I don't know how to explain that, yeah. But new. You know, like stuff like that. I was seeing, you know, within Sam Cooke and other artists from the 50s that were doing the same thing. And I wasn't even aware of it.
That's interesting.
And I saw how soul music was created by black people. And not to say that we're the only ones entitled to it, you know, but I saw the music, black music of today, and I saw that nobody was really carrying it on. And so I felt that as a young black man, I needed to go back to the roots. Not to say, you know, I wanted to be the next Sam Cooke or the next anything, you know, but it's just a sound that I fell in love with and wanted to make it for myself.
So let's play something. You want to do Arthur Alexander, Roy C? What do you want to play?
Let's do Shotgun Wedding by Roy C.
All right.
People are standing all around at a shotgun wedding here in this town, and I'm the victim, and oh yeah, of a shotgun wedding. 'Cause your father got the gun and there ain't no place to run. Shotgun wedding, and oh yeah. Yes, I have for you, me, the baby makes three. Shotgun, 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 shotgun wedding. And oh, yeah. Do you take this woman to be your lawful wedded wife?
Man. You can join in.
Shotgun.
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 Shotgun wedding.
I think Roy C is still alive.
He is. Yeah. Somebody commented on a photo I posted of him on Instagram. I was like, yeah, mom just saw him at a concert recently. I was like, what?
Wow. He's still singing.
Yeah.
Wow.
He's like, I need to be
middle
there.
70s. Yeah. you should look him up and meet him. He's from Georgia. I'm going to say he probably didn't venture far from Georgia.
Oh, word.
In fact, a lot of artists that you like are Southern artists.
Yeah. I mean, Arthur Alexander, he's Alabama. I actually found out about him by my buddy Nick Waterhouse. I just love, you know, his subtlety and country kind of sound.
What do you want to play, Arthur Alexander?
Keep Her Guessing.
Deal.
Love so true, but just one thing that you gotta do. from the start.
He passed on young, I think, Arthur Alexander. He died in the 90s.
It's kind of, you know, sad. Made amazing music. And you know.
See, he may have done You Better Move On. I can't recall if he's the guy who wrote that song. Hmm. But I know the Stones were affected by him, Beatles somewhat. Yeah. Tina Turner was Arthur Alexander. Your band today, Tiny Desk, I saw you play also in Philadelphia at World Cafe, yeah. WXPN. And you've got great sax player. But I also think that even though you're drawing from that music, there's a very forward sound in your music too. Why don't you tell us about the band? Let's play a song of yours.
Great. You have Austin Jenkins on guitar, Kenny Wayne on guitar.
And you met Austin how? Our audience might know White Denim because we've played White Denim on our show before. And that's Austin, right?
Yeah. We met at a bar in Fort Worth.
By the way, I'm wearing White Denim today.
Oh, there you go.
and Austin and I also wear bolo ties.
Hey.
So we're brolos.
Brolos, man. But we met at this bar in Fort Worth. I was wearing my high-waist Wrangler denim, and his girlfriend had came up to me and was like, "Hey, you got to meet my boyfriend. He likes to wear Wranglers." And that was like the first time we met, and we sat and talked about music. He said he was a musician. I told him I was a musician.
Well, yeah. There you go.
But he never said what band he played in, you know.
I see.
And so he saw me a week later. I was playing solo at this little club called Magnolia Motor Lounge in Fort Worth. And after I got done playing, he came up to me. He's like, "Man, we got to record some songs." After he left, the bartender was like, "You know that's Austin Jenkins from White Denim, right?" I was like, "Who is White Denim?" And so, you know, I went and looked him up on Spotify. And
did you hear a connection between what he might have liked about you and the music he was making?
No. But
can I? Let me just play a tiny bit of White Denim. Let me see what I got real quick. I could see why.
Yeah, and like.
When then he crossed.
And it's funny, when I first met him, I mean, I wouldn't have guessed that he even played this music, you know. You know, I thought he was like, just a country singer.
You're looking at him.
But there was something about him, like, I knew that when he, approached me that it was something special, you know, that he could definitely, you know, I knew that he could definitely get on. Down on some soul music. Sure.
So then you got together. I mean, this is a guy who's produced your record.
Yeah.
I mean, this is not just like some guy said, "I like you, let's play together." You played
at
the bar one day.
There had been a lot of that. You know, right. There was a lot of that beforehand. Just random people. Like,
you and Austin Jenkins. Are,
you know, and so like we sat down at his crib, and I just played out all my songs. You know, acoustic guitar, and we recorded it on his little phone. And then he sent,
not even a four track, but a phone.
And he sent back some garage band arrangements.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, whoa, you know, I was just seeing my vision really come to life. Because when I decided to go down this path, you know, it was just me on guitar, you know, and I'm no guitar player. And so this is what made me happy, but I didn't see like it, you know, really going anywhere.
Let's hear the fruits of some of that from your first album.
Yeah, let's do Brown Skin Girl.
Thank you.
other side of the room. Brown skinned girl staring with her brown eyes. Ooh, baby, don't you know you're a cutie pie? Princess, little honey with a polka dot dress on. I don't know. Let me tell you, darling. Ooh, 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 ooh. Brown skin girl with the white pearls round the neck. Brown skin girl, let me hold you close under the white moon.
One of my favorite ones, man.
Who did you have in mind when you wrote that?
My ex-girlfriend, Annalisa Garcia. It's funny, I had met her at the same bar that I met Austin.
That's a good bar. What bar is
this? It's a magical bar. It's a... called the Boiled Owl Tavern in Fort Worth. You know? It's magical. And I met her there and just inspired to write the song after that.
Did you take your guitar to her and sing that song to her?
I did, yeah. It's definitely one of my favorite songs. It's funny, like, it started out, the vibe was different, you know, when it first started out, and just me just kind of strumming. And I think the arrangement that, you know, Austin came up with was genius.
We talked about a lot of old stuff. Is two things. One, of any of those, is there a song in particular that changed your life that you would say, had I not heard this, I might not be doing this, or it made me pick up the guitar, or 'cause music can do that.
There's so much in there. Like, I remember hanging out at Starbucks, and there was these older guys who would sit around and play Crosby, Stills, and Nash songs. And I was just so in love with music, I would just go hang out with them, and I'd try to, like, sing and harmonize with them. You know, I didn't even know the songs, but I just, you know, I tried to sing and harmonize with them. And they were like, hey, man, you sound good. You used to buy a guitar one day, you know. And
you were about how old?
I was 20, 21.
First guitar you bought was when? In your 20s?
Yeah.
Wow.
And they're like, yeah, you should go out and buy a guitar. So, and one of the songs that they would play was Just a Song by Crosby, Stills, and Nash. And, I mean, that was like one of the songs that made me go out and buy a guitar.
I never would have thought that, though. I mean, we talk about Sam Cooke, we talk about Arthur Alexander.
Yeah. It's kind of...
So tell me more about what do you think the attraction is to that song to you? And actually, let me play a little and I'll give you time to think about what that is.
Just a song. Traveling twice the speed of sound, it's easy to get burned. When the shows were over, we had to get back home. And when we opened up the door, I had to be alone. She helped me with
Graham Nash song. That record came out probably middle late 70s. But there you are in the Starbuck hearing the song Graham Nash wrote about going on tour and missing his loved ones, sort of what the song about is about. There you are. You're with a bunch of older guys playing guitar, playing a song that is, you know, not connected in my mind with any of the stuff other than comes from the heart, but...
Yeah, it was, you know, it was special for me because, you know, I was you know, very hungry, you know, to play and learn and sing. And, you know, the fact that these guys just kind of opened the door and, let me hang out with them. And it was just, you know, great, you know, just hearing those harmonies. You know, it was kind of a new world for me because I didn't really know anything about, you know, that style of music.
Mm-hmm. And did you try to harmonize with these guys when they were singing?
I did, yeah. You know, I tried to harmonize with them. You know, it was just cool, you know, just to sit there and, you know, hang out and just really enjoy life. You know, they suggested that I go out and buy a guitar. And at the time, I didn't have any money to do that. And it wasn't until about a year after that is when I bought a guitar. But, you know, it was a whole bunch of situations that led up to me buying a guitar. You know, there was that situation. And then I looked, so when I was in college, there was a girl named Kyrie Reynolds. She would bring her guitar to school, and it was just something about how she would, you know, the sound of it, and what, you know, drew me to it was the fact that it was so portable. And I was just so hungry, you know, to play, and the thought of, like, going out on the street and, you know, and playing in front of people was something that really drew me to it.
I'm guessing you're not shy.
I am.
Oh, you are.
I am. It's kind of weird, you know, is I get shy when I'm around new people, and still, even when I'm on stage, you know, I come from not really wanting to be in lights or mm-hmm. known or in front of people, but...
You wear it well. Thank you.
Thank you.
Really appreciate you doing this. I'll go out on one of your songs. You want to pick it?
Let's do Pull Away.
Okay. Thanks so much, Leon Bridges. Much appreciated.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Leon Bridges, his debut album is called Coming Home. For NPR Music, it's All Songs Considered.
Oh, girl, I wanna
pull away
from you. It's been too long. I wanna
walk away
right now. I thought that our love was true, but alone I was wrong. My pillow bears the tears of a man in pain. How love I thought I could sustain. I'll be gone by the morning tide. Ooh, 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 ooh. Oh, girl, I that our love was true, but of all.